Hello, and welcome to the Cosmic Shed. I'm Andrew, and today's episode is all about the 2003 film The Core, starring Hilary Swank and Aaron Eckhart. A team of scientists are sent down to the core of the Earth to restart it after it mysteriously stops with disastrous consequences. Now, this episode is a little different for The Shed. Ty was involved in an event at the Bristol Science Film Festival this week. I went along and I thought I'd just bring you the recording of that event. We gathered at the Redgrave Theatre here in Bristol to watch The Core, and Ty was part of a panel. He was on the panel with three scientists, Beth Cottrell, Katie Cooper and Chris Dunford. Beth and Katie's task was really to destroy the film and all its scientific inaccuracies, whereas Ty and Chris had to try and defend it. And the other voice you'll hear is Robbie Kornitschke, who was hosting the event. I'll pop back in occasionally to give you a bit of context, but here it is.
Hi, I'm Ty Singh. I run the Bristol Bad Film Club. I have a C in GCSE physics, but I watch lots of Star Trek, so I think that makes up for it.
My name is Chris Dunford, and I have a degree in molecular biology, which will not be useful during this film.
Hello, I'm Dr. Katie Cooper. The doctor is in geology. Sadly, not the stuff that's really far down, but I did bring a rock, so you all know I'm a geologist, and I will use this rock later on.
Don't take the competition too seriously, that's all I'm saying.
I'm Beth Cottrell. I work at Bristol as the tinkering officer. I have a master's in physics, not hugely relevant, kind of getting there, but I'm also a massive pedant, so I'm really going to get in there on this.
Before we start, actually, I just want to say I don't know why we chose this film, apart from the fact that they asked my opinion and then we chose this film, but it's not like we're making fun of, you know, Journey to the Centre of the Earth. That has dinosaurs in it. This doesn't have dinosaurs in it. And at the Earth's core, essentially the same film, but with more dinosaurs and Caroline in the
road. Dinosaurs make
in
a film.
Bikini. But, if you don't know, The Core is actually a remake of the film Deep Core that came out a year before and has Terry Farrell from Star Trek Deep Space Nine and also Will Wheaton. And it's about as scientifically accurate as this film. So, let's do this.
As we watch the film, the panel would interrupt so that Robbie could pause the film, and they did so using bicycle bells. So when you hear a bicycle bell, you know that they've moved on to another part of the film. And the bell sounds like this.
I would like to indicate that limestone is my favourite rock, but it is also the only rock named in the entire film and has nothing to do with the core or the interior of the Earth.
But is what he's saying actually accurate, what he's going to do?
What he's going to do is a way of demonstrating seismic
waves.
So
he knows what he's on about.
he's not really engaging his audience there at all.
But he is correct in the science.
Are we going to let it slide that all those people just died? I don't know how spoilery we're going to be, because they are going to kind of explain it in a minute, but shall I wait?
I'd like to say that was a hell of a face plant, though. That was pretty
good.
Okay,
we're going to wait.
They did also die a Green World Day back in 2003 in America, where you could do that without being an enemy of the people, so that's quite nice. Yeah, well, I'll be doing that.
Tick.
I'll give the point to Team 4 on that.
Oh, no, but he's very attractive, though. That's the other thing. Aaron Eckhart. Do we get a point for that?
More.
Yeah, so the
no,
face.
We can't. No.
So he's handsome and he knows what he's on about. So far, everything in this film is completely legit.
So strongly. Yeah.
So, just for starters, war man doesn't care unless it's war. Straight away. Something's killed all these people. Is it war? No. Okay.
Yeah, it's a really accurate film.
They were all standing next to a big magnet. So far, completely fine.
But was it a magnet? So he said, like, several different things there. They've said they've gone for EM waves, they've gone for an EM pulse. Later they talk about microwaves. And actually, are they actually just talking about magnetism? Because that's actually the thing that's getting fucked up here? They can't seem to decide. Not many of these would actually stop someone with a pacemaker. And also, how many people were in that 10-block radius with pacemakers?
I think Massachusetts have a more definite problem there as a health
That's
issue.
A problem.
Yeah. Also, what is his reputation? He's a geophysicist. Oh, my God, you're so good at this. You're so good at guessing what dead white people have died. What? Who has that reputation?
He is the rock star in the geology.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yes.
Come on. Get back to it. Nothing's happened
already,
yet.
Already, there's quite a lot of pigeons around.
It's Trafalgar Square.
It's London. Come on.
Oh, is it? This film was made in 2003.
Yeah.
Pigeons have been around for a long time.
Yeah. But not in Trafalgar Square. In 2000, Ken Livingstone, the current mayor of London, made selling bird feed in Trafalgar Square illegal. It was all part of getting rid of the pigeons in Trafalgar. They also introduced a Harris hawk. And in the next few years, the number of pigeons in Trafalgar Square went from 4,000 to 200.
Hang on, what makes you think this film set in 2003? This film is timeless.
Because!
Yeah. I'm glad you asked!
If we wait just a little longer, we will start to see some cars going past. If you pause on just the right frame, you can have a look at some of the number plates of these cars.
Come on. Come on.
At least one of these cars is a W Reg, which was released in the year 2000.
This is too geeky for me.
Thank you very much.
No, we're here to discuss legitimate science.
This is legitimate science. It's ecology.
I'm going to hand it to team against. That's some really impressive research.
What?
Have a lot of spare time.
Hey, look, I could have looked at the goof section of IMDb as well. This is...
No,
this is research.
I think people have had enough of experts nowadays.
So
And that's how we're going to win.
That's the only way you're going
to
win.
When I watched this at home, this is the point where we paused the movie to look up how many pigeons there were. I'd just like that to be noted while we go into the next pigeon section of this movie.
I would also just like to point out that to look at some of the background. So there will be a bus. Look at potentially what you think the age or the decade that bus comes from, because it's not 2000.
What?
To preempt this team, I realised all the pigeons were breaking the glass, but a lot of the buildings in London are listed, so it is single pane. So that's fine. And the other thing to mention about this is, for someone who works at PV, seeing so many dead pigeons fall from the sky is just great, and it's just really nice. It's just a fun film, isn't it, when you're making it, just throwing dead pigeons at monuments.
Even though they're single pane, that's still a lot of force for a pigeon to be flying at a window.
But they're pointy.
They're vicious.
They're not that vicious. That is
Guys,
a sheer
as someone
amount
who has
force.
Seen the film Birdemic Shock and Terror, that was awesome, and I'm completely on board with it.
A very small point. They were in Trafalgar Square a moment ago, and where they are hiding, I also paused this to work out where they were hiding. They are hiding in a theatre, which is actually in Leicester Square. So they ran a good 10 minutes away from these birds.
Yeah, you would.
Just go into the nearest building. There are other buildings around.
The buildings
aren't
safe.
Huge amounts of glass
in the
front.
They wouldn't let them in unless they were going to buy something. Yeah. That's London.
Right, are there any smaller points? Because we're going to let it run for a good 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Oh, I have one more point about the pigeons, then. I was going to wait until they explained it. This is to do with the Earth's magnetic field going crazy, because some animals use the Earth's magnetic field to navigate. And, oh, shit, the pigeons. It must be messing with their brains and making them go crazy. This is actually true. Some pigeons
use the Earth's magnetic field
to navigate, particularly homing pigeons. That's one of the ways they find their way. Particularly, they use this to navigate on cloudy days. This is a cloudy day. They're fine here. If it's a sunny day, they use the sun. They have done experiments on these pigeons by strapping magnets to their backs to see if it messes with them on different kinds of weather days. And it does. On cloudy days, a pigeon with a magnet on its back is going to go a little bit wrong. But they also have eyes.
Yeah, that's good. Are we sure about that? Because I just saw a pigeon crash into Nelson's column, so
they've done more research than we have.
Yeah. It's all right, this film's great, the audience is going
to be on our side. He said a T1 line. They're going to use the T1 line to do a huge search looking for anomalous results. A T1 line.
One megabyte connection. Yeah.
An internet connection, which by today's standards is about half of what you need to stream standard definition on Netflix.
It's 2003. Timeless period.
It's very important for the context.
Okay.
So he is a...
your last one for a while.
Well, that's fine. He is a geophysicist. So geophysicists use a lot of computer models, like he was explaining, but they don't tend to use volumetric flasks or other scientific equipment which was behind him. They would be in the geochemist's lab. Also, would you really go and go, right, undergrads, they're going to make the most important model we have ever made. Yep, 3D of the whole Earth, that's right. Easy. Definitely go and get those guys just from that undergrad course. They'll do it. I'm sure they'll love the extra credit. It's ridiculous.
They're cheap, though. Right.
They're cheap, but they're also not great. And the book he grabs for is a very rudimentary calculus book, which I'm hoping he already knows. Otherwise, they're really fucked.
He's got bum chin. Look at his chin, though.
So just in context, as a university professor, I don't think he's doing very well.
In the film, we've just been introduced to Hilary Swank's character, Major Rebecca Childs, as her space shuttle drops out of the sky over Los Angeles.
Yeah! Woo! It's a great film. Really good film. It's a great film.
Just want to point out that nobody's ear defenders are that effective.
I'd like to say, apart from that being awesome, as a non-space shuttle pilot, that all looked completely legitimate to me. A bit of a production note, this was made in 2003, and when they were advertising the film and the trailers came out, that scene, or parts of that scene with the trailers, and then Columbia blew up on re-entry, and they pulled all the trailers, and there was a lot of debate with the studio whether that entire sequence should be included in the film, and they decided to go ahead with it in the end because astronauts are fucking awesome, and that's why they did it. It's kind of like, even in the worst case scenarios, astronauts can pull it off, and I think that scene is great.
I agree. Yeah. I'll allow the ear defenders.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. And you get a double sonic boom. That's real science. And the Spatial Endeavour is now in LA. How else would it get there? So, right now it's LA, so it all makes sense.
Production note, that's not a peach, it's a painted apple.
Oh, actually, it's true. No, I've got one as well. So, Robbie listed me on the event as a sustainability expert. Yeah. But the only sustainability note in the entire film is if... Oh, actually, no. Spoilers. Carry on.
This is the Earth. It's out the EM field.
I've held it in. I'm sorry. I had to. Oh, let me just... So some of what he's saying is kind of right?
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One, always have peaches in a room and air freshener.
Can I ask why do they use painted apples?
Have you cut a peach in half?
Peaches didn't look good enough on camera, apparently.
Have you cut a peach in half? It's not quite as my other role as food officer. Throwing that one out. You can't really cut it quite as beautifully as that. Always have a peach in your boardrooms and some air freshener.
We did discuss this earlier that they didn't have peaches in boardrooms and it's not very accurate. No, and I did point out the fact they should probably have a conference pear.
He asked me to set him up on that one. So the Earth's magnetic field has actually been going for around 3,500 million years. So the concept of it stalling is complete bullshit. It may slow down, it may alter.
They explain why it's stalled.
No, they said they didn't know why it's stalled.
Oh, we are going to find out.
Yeah, spoilers.
Oh, there is a reason.
Say that reason is not right as well. And we'll get on to that later, Ty, don't worry.
Oh, do you want my sustainability point was, I did promise you one sustainability point. You should only burn peaches when they're in season.
Also, I'm a big fan of prop-based science, whether it's like Jason Isaacs in Armageddon going, if you put a firecracker in your hand and close your hand around it, suddenly your wife's going to be opening ketchup bottles for the rest of your life, or you know, someone in Interstellar going, this is space, we bend it, and that's what a wormhole is. And, yeah, great, now I understand what's going on.
Oh,
I have no
science,
problem with
but...
what's going on.
This should be in schools.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but there are...
Look, the Earth's going to burn.
No, it's not. My other point, there are many other points I could go on about, but one is, why are these the only two people to have found this out?
Because again, do you know?
Again, geophysicists are constantly looking at the magnetic field. We use the geomagnetic field to investigate what's going on in the interior of the Earth.
Guys, look, I don't so want to throw you are... in it. You drop the ball.
So people are.
We had to rely on Stanley Tucci and Aaron Eckhart. You guys.
No, and the undergrads. Don't forget the undergrads. I feel it's all on them.
I think you should focus on the positive. This is the American government listening to a bunch of scientists.
Yeah. And
it's really...
Two scientists!
I mean, it's classified as science fiction. Yeah.
It's really nice to watch a historical drama.
Yeah.
Okay, you probably got that Aaron Eckhart's character, Dr. Josh Keyes, was just demonstrating what would happen to the Earth if the core stopped turning using a peach, a lighter, and some air freshener. Now, we've just seen how they intend to bore through the Earth right down to its core.
I see no problems with that.
No, it's fine.
That is a bitchin' laser.
Yeah. Lasers are cool.
It's great.
Lasers are cool. I'll give you that. You know what? If they'd made up a technology, if they'd said, we've made a disintegration ray, we've made a teleportation beam and it moves the rock out of the way, fine. That's fine. You have your ray. But if they're going to use words like ultrasonic and what was...
Laser digging beam?
Laser digging beam, then we're going to have problems. Because they say like ultrasonics like you would use to break up a kidney stone and things. Like, so things like that do exist. And especially like up in space on Mars, Curiosity the rover does use ultrasonics to power a very tiny little drill. Drilling, ultrasonics, other planets, it's kind of relevant. But what it does is it moves a very tiny ball up and down really, really fast to kind of hammer through the rock. It does not just wiggle the rock away. That doesn't happen.
But it's like kidney stones on Discovery Channel. There's literally a citation.
Exactly.
The rocks!
The mountain is made of stone. It's fine.
Different
that's
no problem.
They cite something wrong. That's the problem.
I see no problems with it whatsoever.
So, another reason why this film is so great, back in 2003, what they predicted, what he'd just been asked to do, is use the internet to make up fake news to affect political change and change public opinion. If we'd listened back in 2003 to this film, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in today. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Fake news.
Exactly. You've got to pay attention to the films of the past to learn the future.
Yeah.
1998, Will Smith warned us all, NSA would be spying on us, an enemy of the state. We all laughed. Look at us now.
Yeah.
The core. Learn from it, people. That's why I'm not dismissing Will Smith's After Earth. Sure, it's bollocks. But he might be onto something. We never know with Will Smith.
I just want to plant a little thinky thing in everyone's mind. What do you think Stanley Tucci's sexual fantasies are? All I've been thinking about since he says, I can work them out.
It also tells you a lot about the room that we got, that when...
Yeah.
When he does a joke about all scientists and geeks being virgins, the room was dead. Slightly awkward almost. And then when he does the binary joke, it doesn't get quite right, you all laughed. So.
What's your backup plan? You've got a few licenses on that farm. Forever.
That's an interesting one. They've done a bit of research here, but not quite enough. They've really tried to go for a quite complicated topic called blue boxing. This is something that was really prevalent in the 1960s and 70s, where you could use a frequency to affect what happened on your phone. So when he blows his little thing there, The frequency he's hitting is 2,600 hertz, which is the tone from when you put down the phone. It's the hang-up tone, which allows you access into the kind of the operator's stuff. And the different buttons when you press, they go boop, 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 boop. It's all done through frequencies, which is how you give the phone instructions. So he can then go, I'm in control now, type in some new frequencies, and get things like free long-distance phone calls.
Knew this film was awesome. It's great, it's great.
It's actually right, except that was from the 1960s and 70s. That doesn't work anymore. There's no reason to do that now.
Interesting concept, nonetheless.
It is.
I think we're winning.
This film is timeless.
Okay, we've just seen the navigation system explained.
So he described this thing that can see through 3 metres of lead.
Three feet.
It's all imperial.
Just a metre of lead. As being like a CAT scan. CAT scans using kind of, is it x-rays or
X-rays.
What? X-rays. Anything that's firing enough x-rays to get through 3 feet of lead, that janitor just walked behind it by the bars. He's dead. Oh. He's very dead.
Maybe he doesn't read the signs.
Guys, isn't it good to see a strong female character who's not only a space shuttle commander but can fix stuff? I think it's great. I think you'll find Aubrey Woodard is in mission control. She's in charge in the meantime.
Have they spoken to each other, though?
No. Yes. Not yet.
On the comms.
So I have a number of issues.
To the shuttle.
About how hot he is.
I have a number of issues with the navigation system, but they'll come up later. I wouldn't want to spoil them for you. But that woman... Like, how would she know what to press?
Excuse me, that woman, you mean Oscar-winning Hilary Swank?
Oscar-winning Hilary
Swank. She captured our hearts and voiced their cries. She captured our imaginations.
Yeah. So she was, earlier on, she was quoted as being the youngest person in space. Currently,
congratulations to
her. Yeah, currently, the youngest person in space was 25. And that was the second person to orbit the Earth back in the 1960s. So she's under 25 and a major in the Army, Air Force, don't know.
Are you saying a woman can't do this?
I'm just saying it might be slightly
a little bit on the sexist side.
It might be slightly beyond the realms of possibility that an under 25 would be as confident in this situation to just go, I'm just gonna fiddle around with this. Don't worry. I know it's going to take us to the bottom of the earth.
I think she's very competent and very capable of doing what she needs to do.
And earlier in the film, she does mention she started training when she was 13.
Exactly.
I remember that because I've seen this film twice in 24 hours.
It is good, though. Thorough.
This is classic Star Trek. What it is she is Captain Kirk and she has never faced the no-win scenario. Could the core be a metaphor for the Kobayashi Maru? Yes, it is.
Completely right, Ty. Now, Rome has just been exploding under a massive storm.
There was nothing wrong with that.
and a lot of people just died. Choose your words.
Okay. I'll go for the science, summer, shall I? I particularly like the bit there where the lightning chases down the street, blowing up concrete as it passes. On the lowest point of the ground, all of the things. Lightning strikes in a sphere, so anything that the sphere that's expanding comes into contact with, the very first thing is the thing that it strikes. So in order for that lightning to have struck, you need to take the width of the street, you need to kind of halve it, go up from the floor by that amount, and that's where your lightning's starting. So
yeah,
we're looking, it's fine
not look
if
cool.
You've got tiny lightning clouds.
Can I just point out, the actual storm is inaccurate as well.
What?
Believe it or not.
What?
So our electromagnetic field actually does vary in different parts of the globe. And where it is thinnest at the poles, it's where we get the aurora borealis, which is beautiful. Absolutely lovely. It is. They are right in saying it is top-level interference with solar winds. But if it had thinned that much, actually what we would have, instead of these beautiful aurora, you would have more of a dispersed colouring in the sky, which they don't seem to show. Then you would start to have more of these electromagnetic storms. We do get affected by solar flares and things like this. And in the 1980s, 1989, Quebec was knocked out. All the electricity was knocked out in Quebec because of one of these solar flares and these kind of solar winds hitting and really fucking stuff up. But it would not happen like that so quickly, so intensely, and so very, very specifically. So it's not quite correct.
Well, I've been doing some research. I did some research. Oh, not.
No.
I did some research, and the Italians do like coffee, football, and gesturing with their arms. So.
And also, it was...
You can say what you like.
It was quite nice to see Rome hit not Paris for once. Yeah. Like, Paris would have been an easy win.
In order to get down right into the earth, the crew chose the Mariana Trench, the deepest part of the ocean.
He chose this location because the crust was thin here. The downside is that there's seismic activity. We are currently in the Marinara's Trench.
Marinara
Trench. I can see why the filmmakers thought this would be a good place to enter the Earth's crust, because it's really low, right? It's really deep ocean. It's not... the actual closest point to the Earth's core is in the Arctic Ocean, because the Earth is not round, it's an oblate spheroid. It's a little bit squished. So actually, if you're anywhere near the equator, you're actually quite a bit further away than if you're at the poles. So there's actually a 25-kilometre difference if you're going to be in the Mariana Trench compared to the Arctic Ocean. And even that is nonsense. The difference between going anywhere on the Earth is minimal. The crust is not the part of this journey they have to worry about. The Earth, like, to get this journey is going to be about 6,500 kilometres. The Earth's crust varies between about 5 and 70. You launch in the safest place you can.
Then not the Arctic, then.
Yeah, not the Arctic! Like, the reason they chose it was bad. They're wrong about being wrong.
That makes them right. That's double negative. But we win.
The seismic activity that you see there is quite... I know there's no scale bar, which does annoy me. It's quite large. And that, although there is a lot of activity in that trench, because it's a subduction zone where one tectonic plate is going underneath another... That level of seismic activity and that kind of breaking apart wouldn't happen.
Looks cool, though.
It does. Mm. Well,
also, a question for me. Do you get whales that far down?
Sperm whales go real far.
Oh, real far. Thank you.
Accurate.
Yeah. Super far. A couple of things. I've been holding them in. First, geophysicists probably wouldn't know what's in the mantle. What you want is an experimental petrologist who studies what happens deeper down in the Earth. The second thing is mostly about that navigation system. So he's developed this amazing navigation system to look underneath the Earth. Well, what we normally look for when we look underneath the Earth is the oil and gas industry love looking underneath the Earth because they want to find oil and gas. And they find that in holes, which is void space. So if you developed something to look under the Earth, you'd want to be able to look at the void space. So when he goes, I haven't configured it to look at nothing, what's the point in it then? There's no reason for it.
He doesn't work in the oil and gas industry.
No.
He just rigged this thing. Yeah. He's a prototype.
He's a trumpet player.
Exactly.
He is a trumpet player. He is. But that is what the government would have purchased it for, probably, for
they
the oil and gas.
They had 3 months to knock this together. Yeah. I think it looks great.
I know, but he said he did it beforehand. So my thought is, actually, this should be able to look for void space.
But overall, we're learning a lot, right, about the layers.
Yeah.
Like, I've never learned so much about the inside of the planet. I mean, other than last night. So this is... there's a lot in it.
Why did they bring suits?
For precisely this occasion.
And how could they deal with the pressure? So the pressure down there, they're using awful metric... stuff that we just don't really work in. We work in atmospheres on the top of the Earth. Now we're in one atmosphere. Down there, we are at least 24 gigapascals, which is obscene. Like, you wouldn't be able to sustain that pressure. No way. No way.
They've done a good core workout.
That's nice. That's better than conference prayer. But they're inside this giant geode, so does that not have...
Oh, you spoiled it, Chris. They haven't even said geode.
Oh, they can work
yet.
It out.
Yeah. They're probably not inside a giant geode, because that's not going to happen. So I know I said earlier that I would use my rock, and here I am, using my rock. This piece of rock has a piece of the mantle stuck to it. I've not just stuck it on there. That's how it formed. And I will pass it to my esteemed colleagues.
Thanks.
Have a look at the crystal size. Can you see shiny things in it? They be the crystals.
Yeah,
they
nice.
Be tiny.
Just...
Yeah? Yeah?
This is so
mantle. That's mantle. That's mantle.
But if you were to go inside a giant geode...
A giant geode. Genodes, like, they form in gas bubbles.
Yeah.
There's not going to be that much gas bubbles down there.
But would it protect
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Would it reduce the pressure?
No, because you've just poked a big hole in it to get into it.
Spoilers. I like the giant. It's really like Jules Verne.
It's very Jules Verne, and great. I'm all right with that, but... Yeah, I'm not all right with the science. At that depth, at that pressure, you would probably not get amethyst. You might get garnet, but not amethyst.
Oh,
don't
on.
Just go and look at like, oh, look, geo.
That is, no, come on, they can't know that.
No. What, you can't know that we wouldn't get that in that
this
sense
is 700
pressure?
Miles down.
Yeah,
right?
people do experiments on that at the university. You should sit next to someone who did it. This is where my knowledge comes from.
700 miles down. Surely
you can simulate it. You can simulate what elements would be down in the mantle. We kind of know that. We can put them together in different compositions. We can squish it with a lot of pressure and a lot of temperature. And then we can analyse what comes out. And amethyst wouldn't come out.
He's speculating that.
The person you sat next to, could they do a tie?
Yeah.
Also, they're about to use oxygen to do stuff. And like, even when you get down to the pressures of the Marineris Trench, if you were to puncture a hole in an oxygen canister, it's so full of pressure that water would rush in. So, bullshit.
I just had everyone look at me going, diamonds? Can we get diamonds down there? You can get diamonds.
Great.
You also get things called kimberlites, which also have diamonds in them. But the size of Cape Cod. Cape Cod is 100 kilometres by 30 kilometres, roughly. And based on what they've been looking at on their screen, that would just be the whole screen, really. So that size, probably not.
Maybe they're not big. Yeah. Maybe they're just very far away.
Yeah, they could be very far away, but she's dodging them. She's trying to dodge them.
The estimation abilities of our young major.
Yeah. She may have them slightly out of the size.
Are you good to go?
There's no way they're talking to them. There is no way. If I can't have signal when I'm on a farm on the Isle of Wight, they can't have signal thousands of kilometres underground. Also, just like that, that was sad, right? That was sad that that guy died. But they...
Oh my God!
Yes! Yes! But... Yes!
No, just because the girder was clearly made of cardboard, it's fine.
Like, it's sad that guy died, right? All these people on the ship seem to be under the impression that they're coming back. For some reason, this has been planned as a two-way journey. This is the world at stake. We don't care. We don't care about the lives of these people. Their job is a sacrificial mission to take nuclear weapons to the core of the planet.
Wow, okay. I've got to lay down some old film tropes. And one of them, I think, at the top of the list is, oh, you've got to care about the characters. Oh, my God. And second, put some peril in there. If it's just like throwing five guys in a tub and going, right, go blow yourselves up, no one's going to watch that film. Actually, I could watch that film. But come on. If you're one completers, they think they want to go home.
Just saying, I think logistically, you should plan for death.
They are planning for death.
I've got to point out, I don't think it's just her one complaint.
Oh, no. No. Yeah.
Look, I mean, the Tooch knows that they're going to go on a one-way trip. Yeah. It's only Aaron Eckhart in his eternal
optimism. No, but he's doing his little... He's saying, you know, his little...
Thanks to their really awesome signal. So yeah.
I think they... Like, NASA always plans to bring people back. You always plan to come back, you know.
Yeah.
Samwise Gamgee, he saves some Lembas for the return journey.
Can they not just go through the other side of China, the Child's Dream?
No. Never got there.
In short, we're never going on a road trip with you guys.
It will be a very accurate road trip. Yeah.
Don't fill the tank up with petrol. You don't need it.
Now, Stanley Tucci's character has just described Destiny to us, a special weapon that's been developed to target earthquakes at your enemies.
Yeah. This is the moment I really wanted to flip the table. I established that's probably not a good idea. This Destiny wouldn't have done that. You can't target seismic activity. We can't predict seismic activity. We try really hard. We want to stop people being in the way of an earthquake. You don't want people to die because of earthquakes. You want to be able to predict them, but they're really difficult to predict, almost impossible. So how can we reverse engineer that? We can't. That is absolute bullshit.
Can I just check? So what you're saying is this made-up science fiction weapon that doesn't exist didn't stall the planet's core because it's impossible. Okay.
I'd also like to say that one of the key points about that weapon was that, you could start earthquakes and no one would know who did it. So we're going to make one and then we're going to threaten that, if you do that to us, we're going to do it to you. Oh, it happened, is it you? Earthquakes for everyone.
You know, you're describing the Cold War. Yeah. That happened. So.
At least we know where they came. You know, you can see where the missiles come from. His whole point was that it was
one country had one, so we built one. The whole point of a doomsday weapon is you let the other person know you've got one, so they don't use it. Cold War.
Do some history.
History.
Probably not. Like, lots of shit will happen, but probably not all of the volcanoes and all of the seismic activity, and it'll rip us to shreds. Probably not.
What would happen?
Yeah, don't what know. Would happen,
Katie?
Don't know.
Hang on.
I'm not a geophysicist.
She said probably, so there's a chance. You're sounding like Kimsky.
Yeah.
He doesn't know, but it's probably.
You're the Stanley Tucci
of
the panel.
I don't have a cigarette yet.
Hang on. Stanley Tucci is partially right.
But you are getting great examples, like, you know, the heart, start and stop a heart. I reckon later on we pop your bonnet and just throw a wrench in there and see what happens.
You're going to pop my bonnet?
Oh.
Things have just got saucy.
Chris.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it's all we got.
Before we go on to where they find the hole, if they were to find a hole, it would be a hole in the ozone layer. We've already generated one. Sustainability we're talking about here. And we have generated... The ozone is much thinner in the southern hemisphere around Australia and New Zealand. So not where they're about to show.
Yeah, but come on, it's San Francisco. That you've always got to destroy
you
San
have.
Francisco. Plus, it's invisible rays that we're all going to see anyway.
It's a film.
That was awesome. that was
awesome. You've got to destroy that bridge. I get that. So we've got an area where it's not being protected by the amazing stuff that the Earth provides to protect us, right? We've got a lot of stuff going on there. You've got the magnetic field, you've got the ozone layer. We're pretty well protected. And a gap has appeared. Shit. All the metal, all the things just burning and like disintegrating. And we do have satellites which are in orbit around the sun. And they seem fine.
But these were concentrated invisible laser rays of death.
I mean, with this one, if they did the real science, the story here would be, this happens, and then in 40 years' time, there's a higher incidence of skin cancer in San Francisco.
Like, I don't watch that. That is true. And burnt retinas. So astronauts who've gone to the moon have said that they've had, when they close their eyes, they have the lightning strike across their retinas, and that actually comes from cosmic rays effect or solar winds affecting their eyes. Oh. So it would hurt us, but not quite like that. I have a really, really pedantic thing Destiny, the acronym, has an I at the end of it, not a Y. And that really, really, really annoys me in the rest of this film, because everything goes for a Y.
What if you weren't listening to that that explanation scene, and when you saw that, the person that wrote in just went, you spelled Destiny incorrectly?
I probably would be all right, but because I heard that earlier, really, really grates on me. Also, this looks very much like a Bond villain lair.
Great.
DJ Qualls as Theodore the Rat Finch is hacking into Destiny.
I love Rat, and I love that he's really upset by this, but he's a bad hacker. if you look at some of the errors that he's getting, at least one of them said 404 access denied. 404 is not access denied. That's file not found. 401 is unauthorized access. And if you pause it and actually look, he's actually looking in the file folder, Project Destiny /404 file not allowed / if you're looking in the folder named 404 file not found, you're not going to find your folders. It's bad hacking is what that is.
Spelling it wrong as well.
And he's spelling it wrong.
But they put that much effort into at least come up with Farcos. If this was a Michael Bay film, I'd just say no. In crayon.
Error.
Yeah. Spelt wrong.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
He did great.
Surely she should be administering some first aid. I mean, I know he said not to, but, like, seriously, that's some serious burns going on.
They're definitely going to die. Why waste your last few minutes, like, wrapping a wound?
You're not going
to die! Guys, essentially what you've proved over the past couple of hours is you're both psychopaths.
I don't think we've proved that at all.
I don't ever want to go anywhere with you.
She's about to go get the first aid kit.
What? I'm bad here.
Inconsistencies, that's what. That thing that said temperature warning was like, oh no, 4,000 degrees. They earlier said in the film that the suits could take up to 9,000 degrees. And he was like, ow, ow.
I really want one of these suits.
No, it was 9,000 degrees in the crawl space. Half and that. The suits could only take half that.
Ah, but the temperature, actually, Beth had it wrong, was 2,000, 3,000. Not 4,500, which is half of 9,000.
They are soldering onto the sides of the ship. Now, I've let it pass that unobtainium converts heat into energy. Sure, you made up a thing. It can do that. Fine. Where is their ground? This makes no sense!
They're in the ground. It's everywhere.
Electrical ground. Like, yeah, you can get power from that, but you can't use it as a battery. It doesn't work.
Well, apparently you can, because you do.
He's doing it.
Also, we should now not care about anything. They saved the world. They did it. It's done. End of film.
We don't want them to die.
They've got to
come back to be court-martialed, surely, because they went against
they're
going
to go to jail for saving the world.
They went against instruction.
Yeah, it's the Frodo and Sam thing, more reference. But, you know, they're too hot, there's two lovers, and they're waiting to be saved.
We had about 5 seconds of celebration that the world wasn't going to end, and we're going to spend the next 10, 15 minutes worrying about these two humans.
Look.
You're not helping the psychopath.
How many humans are worth caring about?
Tinkering officer.
Look, here is further credence that Hilary Swank is Captain Kirk. She disobeyed orders, she saved the world. Best case scenario, she's just going to get demoted and still get her own ship back.
What
so
orders
fine.
Has she disobeyed?
Turn around. They told them to turn around and not to go with plan C.
Yeah, she disobeyed the order to destroy the world. She's a terrible commander.
If you think about it, the scientist is Gandalf, because he lets them go by sacrificing himself to flame. And at the same time, the other guy's Boromir, because he redeems himself by... Yeah, it all works.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's
good.
Whoa, there's
so many levels to this film.
Layers.
And a volcano. So if you think back to the start, you put 6 people in the box, right? And you've got the attractive male lead, the woman with whom he has sexual tension, and you've got the slightly villain guy, the French guy who talks about his family, the elderly black scientist, and then finally you have the mission guy he wants to hand over to his progeny. Who do you think was actually going to survive? Did you have bets on these two? Because if it had been the other way around, it would have been slightly stranger. If like, they died and the four of them were just lying there now, deciding who's going to kiss who. But...
I would have just loved it if it was just Tucci, just smoking.
Yeah,
his yeah just smoking himself. His way through.
That would
through.
Have been amazing.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. they kind of rode like a wave of love.
I'm not, I can't anymore. I'm sorry.
They kind of rode that out right through gaps. I'm guessing that was the solution there.
Yeah, really. Was this time getting out?
Is this not the exact thing? Like every volcano on Earth will explode. Is that not what we just saw happening? All the lava being put, huge shockwave. All the lava moving out towards
fine.
The surface.
No, it's fine. It's
doesn't, film doesn't always do what you want it
just
to do.
It's fine. Okay,
yeah.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, what would happen is she would have died, and then he would have, like, burnt half his face off and spent the rest of the film chasing down people responsible for death while flipping a coin. But you've got to wait a few more years for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that might be another film.
Yeah, we should do that next.
Yeah.
Our closing statement isn't from us. It is actually from the screenwriter of the film.
Oh, yeah.
So...
He's sorry he couldn't be here tonight, by the way.
Yeah, he's really sorry.
as you've seen, he's really busy on other projects.
At the Bristol Bad Film Club, what we try and do is we try and interview the directors, screenwriters, or actors that are in bad films, because we often want to get their feelings towards the film. I reached out to John Rogers, one of the screenwriters, and he did not return any of my emails. However, then I found something that was even better, because back in 2003 when this came out, lots of people criticised this film because of its science. And it got to John Rogers a bit, and he might have cracked. And took
He's not dead, is he?
He's not. And he took to an online movie website board and posted a response to a lot of the criticisms. So, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to read it to you. And you can make up your own mind. For us, we kind of enjoy the film. It's like a modern journey to the centre of the earth. But this, his statement kind of gives you a lot of insight into what he was going for and the pressures he might have been under. So, why did I bother? I don't claim it's true. It's not like I'm a nut job in a shack with tin foil on my head claiming that I've come up with some theory on how the Earth works. I stated it was true because it is true. Thanks for the cheap fucking shot after I tried to be reasonable and constructive. And the mocking may have been more effective if you'd spelt physicist correctly. This was in response to an online review he'd read. A 5-minute trip to any online encyclopedic source, either in Carta,
2000.
Would let you know that the model of the Earth's core I used for the movie is correct. The core does indeed spin slightly faster than the Earth itself. The EM field is produced by the core, and when the direction of the flow reverses, the poles shift. The Earth is built for that sort of process. That's why when the core flow stops, I used altered in the script, but it was too vague for the suits. The Earth doesn't tear apart immediately, and or the EM field doesn't just collapse, as your reviewer assumed would happen in his review. All the facts, temperatures, and pressures for the layers of the Earth are to the best known value. Okay, you've got me on the Colosseum blowing up. It should have just been...
got me.
It should have just been collapsing from the repeated lightning strikes, but it blows up. Sorry for the FX guys having a little fun there. The nose cone of the Virgil returns to the surface by riding the magma flows within the crust, which are travelling at an accelerated rate because of the core restart. They don't need a drill because they're travelling with the current through pre-existing channels. It takes them longer than 10 minutes to return. That time passage is covered in a subtitle. I'd run through how everything Darth, the reviewer, mentions is actually fully explained in the script, but I'm already verging on petty, so I'll move on. Of course, you couldn't be bothered to take that 5-minute trip through some actual reading before deciding somehow that you pretty obviously have no bloody idea how the Earth works, and that the science in this movie was bullshit, pointing out that Hollywood made another lazy science movie suited your opinion, so you accused the writers of being lazy. Well, thanks. That's 3 goddamn years of working, fighting to get rid of the fucking dinosaurs. Magma walks in spacesuits. Bullshit side crap sources for the Earth's crisis. A fucking windshield at one point. Think about it. All the while thinking, I love sci-fi. Sci-fi has suffered too many bad science movies. It's my responsibility to my fellow sci-fi fans to make sure that the science is as close as I can get it. Also, some guys who enjoy the power trip of snark can toss it out the window without even thinking, hey, you know, maybe, just possibly, as I know jack shit about this, it could all be right. You've got no problem with warp drive, alien species who can't open a kitchen door, or a living liquid planet god, but an improbable equation for semi-solid fluid dynamics. Oh god, now you're the bloody logic cops. There are a scrum of guys out here in La La Land who love genre films. Some writers, some directors, hell, even some suits. We're fighting every day to try to make our halfway decent stuff. Sure, sometimes we don't get there, but we work our asses off behind the scenes, trying like hell, always remembering the fellow fanboys out there, and unlike some people, actually trying to make stuff. The ridicule is all based on the assumption that the science is crap. That assumption is unfounded. The nice folks at Wired magazine have decided that our science is pretty sound. You can check out their brief article about the movie's tech in their online play section or in November's issue. I know this is futile. I honestly don't expect you to print this unedited. They did. I don't really care about a bunch of guys sitting in their underwear in their basements taking time off from their online stroke photos of Jessica Alba to bash something because they're ignorant. I hate to even dignify this with a reply, but some small part of me hates to see all that time and work get dismissed without even a tiny bit of shame on your part for being arrogant, condescending, and above all, dead wrong. I just had to get this off my chest. I don't mind sarcasm. I've traded that card myself often enough. But ignorant, lazy sarcasm, if good science in a science fiction movie isn't rewarded with even nominal polite respect before you go on to trash the movie, then why the fuck are we even bothering? The end. And then he went on to write Catwoman.
That's just, he would be very upset with this event, wouldn't he? let's not invite him.
I think he'd love us.
Yeah.
Closing remarks?
Closing remarks, yeah. I was just going to say, do each of the panelists want to just give us a very, very brief explanation?
I liked it.
That's perfect.
Oh, no, I thought it was great fun. I think it's great fun. It's no more ridiculous than Armageddon or The Day After Tomorrow. Sure, a bunch of scientists did vote this the most inaccurate sci-fi film ever made, but then that same cabal of scientists actually believed that The Day After Tomorrow did more for environmental awareness than An Inconvenient Truth. So, actually, they might be right.
Yeah.
The first thing it says, I've run the numbers and you can generate electricity from unobtainium. You can do it. That is right, isn't it?
Looks legit.
Do you want the calculator?
No, I don't need the calculator. The problem is you generate it in DC and obviously the imperies is AC, so you run it over a couple of inverters first. It didn't show that, but it does. Okay. That is sound. The next thing to say is, I really like it because it's classic science fiction. It's Jules Verne, it's H.G. Wells, and it's the what if. What if we could go back in time? What if we could go to the moon, as they thought about then? What if we could go to the centre of the Earth? So it's just the classic sci-fi, and they try and do some science, and if they get it a bit wrong to make it interesting, great. It's still a nice way to spend 2 hours, 15 minutes, two nights running. The other thing I've got is just to mention that, you know, I mean, Nike also do shoes, a lot of lifestyle products, and they're available online as well as in store, so that'd be the main thing. To take away from this, really, that, and maybe drink Pepsi and, you know, Mountain Dew.
Pop pockets. Brand ambassador, Chris. Yeah. Katie.
Well, I have some issues, as you might have realised, with the film. And one of the issues, and it's something that comes up, and I know it's because it's a film, and it wouldn't be enjoyable if we didn't have this, but the whole rapid... Some of these things can happen, could happen, yep, but over the timescales that we're dealing with in these films, they wouldn't happen. And I have those who know me know I have a real problem with The Day After Tomorrow. You think I'm angry about this film? No, not even close. And the problem is, it's using scientific terminology incorrectly to give people the wrong idea about things, and that's what I have an issue with. I love science fiction. I'm not saying I really love science fiction. I read a lot of it. I watch a lot of it. I really enjoy it. But I really struggle with it when they have that semi-boundary with real science fact really not. And I think that this film particularly, you know, ticks a few of those boxes for me. Makes me a little bit agitated. Have you noticed?
I was actually going to say much the same as Katie. Like, yeah. I totally agree with that guy. Like, he has goddamn tried. He has got the Earth structure right. Yes, he did it. He went and did some research. And he really
did stop there, though.
But it's his next point. He says, like, how dare you sit there and accuse us of being wrong if, like, you haven't done your research. And we have.
Like, oh, boy, happy.
But yeah. The studio wanted dinosaurs.
That's true. I'm glad.
Walks in spacesuits.
I'm glad. I enjoy this film. I do. I think it's really fun. But I do share that same. If you're gonna use my science words, then use them well. Because you know what? Make up your own stuff. Unobtainium. Go for it. Go for it. Go mad. Like sci-fi stuff. You're gonna have a warp drive. Yep. Explain to me how your warp drive works. You go for it. Love it. If you're gonna tell me that your thing that exists does this. No, I know that it doesn't is the problem.
Well, thank you very much to our four panellists. We're going to flip it over to you, the audience, because they have been competing, and there is a prize up for grabs for them, not for you, unfortunately. So what do you think? Do you think that the core, while yes, scientifically inaccurate, was still totally bitching?
Woo!
Yeah. Or do you think the core was just a flawed, ridiculous piece of nonsense, and these two ladies presented a very excellent argument for that.
Yes!
We're super pedantic!
With the audience here, I think you guys did some amazing research. I've really learnt a lot tonight, and it was gosh damn funny with it. So, I know we didn't want dinosaurs, but here's a bloody dinosaur!
Yay!
Thank you everyone so much for coming.
Thank you very much, Robbie!
I hope you enjoyed that. We've got another episode coming soon with Steve, Maddie and Ty right here in the shed with me as we discuss Hidden Figures. I know I've been promising you that for a while, but we really are recording it on Monday. Thank you for listening. The Cosmic Shed.
Science fact.
Science fiction.
And everything in between.